Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in chapter 6, Into Action, and we're going to unpack paragraph 1 today on page 73, and it begins with more than most people and ends with that makes for more drinking. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Malky G, the 12 Traditions, Clara G. Reading the text and support today is Lisa J.R., Sandy D., and Kara L. And then later on in our meeting, we're going to look towards Wendy B. to greet newcomers and get sponsor contact info, and Leslie M. to give you some announcements on the activities here at A Vision for You. The share ID numbers for yesterday's meeting, which would be Monday, December 2nd, 2019, 10 a.m., is 13743, 13743. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study Meeting, Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019, the 7 a.m., as I was mentioning, is 13746, 13746. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Malky G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Malky.
Good morning, Melanie, and everyone on the line. My name is Malky G. from New Jersey. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Malky G. Clara G., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. I'm Clara G., a compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group consciousness. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. The OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeater Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name or never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all the traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Clara G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Let me make note, this would be the star 1 key function only, please, for muting. So I want to make a correction here, very important to do so, because we're going to resume our study today on page 73 in the chapter Into Action and reading only one paragraph. I made a mistake earlier. That one paragraph starts with more than most people and ends with he doesn't deserve it. That short few lines right there is what we're going to unpack today. And I would like Lisa J.R. to please read that paragraph for us and share and make comments on that to open up the meeting this morning. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Melody, for your service. Good morning, everybody. I'm Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland, gratefully recovered today. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. Why did I need to read this morning? Because I forget that I can slip into that old behavior of being duplicitous, having one face for the world to see and how I really feel inside. Because if you guys knew how I really felt inside, you certainly wouldn't want me. And the duplicity was born out of my third column from a child, my security, my self-esteem, my relations, my ambitions being affected. So those little character defenses were cultivated from early on, and they became full-blown defects as I got old. So I was leading a double life. I was a performer. I was trying to please, trying to appear like I had it all together, trying to be confident, portray something when I was really terrified inside. And when I came into the rooms of Big Book recovery and I did these steps the Big Book way, I realized that those, that I didn't have to act anymore, that I could be accepted for who I was, that I didn't have to be constantly under the tyranny of trying to be something I wasn't, or portray, or just have you all love me. You accepted me warts and all when I came in this program. So I had to let go of that reputation I wanted you all to think was so great, and just let go and let God and be who I was, because I do deserve it. And I learned that I am just another person in recovery, and that my God loves me warts and all, just like you do. And if it weren't for you showing me that, I would still have that disconnect with my higher power. So yes, I let that actor go, but I have to remember that I can pick up those habits really quickly and be face down in the food if I don't continue working the steps. And do, after having gotten through this fifth step, going through recovery, that I do this over and over on a daily basis, that I examine. And thank you so much for letting me serve, Pat.
Thank you very much, Lisa J.R. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 73. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I can take down a few at a time.
Michelle.
Barbara E.B.
Michelle, what's the first initial of your last name?
Michelle, J. Story.
Great, thanks so much. Next person?
Barbara
Julie.
E.
Barbara
E.B.
and Julie. Hi, Julie E.B.
Bruce
gotcha.
E.
Bruce E.
Evan B.
Stephen G.
Did I see Evan and then Stephen? Let's stop there. So I got Evan B. and Stephen G. Great. Got a good lineup there. Michelle J., Barbara E., Julie E.B., Bruce E., Evan P., and Stephen G. B, I guess, is what I'm looking at. Evan B. Okay, great. Go ahead, Michelle. Thanks so much. You're 3 minutes.
Good morning, you all. Michelle J. here from Arkansas, taking my seat and being extremely grateful for all of you here. I recovered here by the grace of God. You know, working the 12 steps is such a joy. This journey is wonderful because I have you and because I have God and I have the 12 steps. But once again, you know, over the holidays, those old haunts that come up, you know, a family member that you haven't seen in 40 years shows up, and all of a sudden I'm kind of triggered into, am I lovable? Am I acceptable? Do I have family? And, you know, and I have to just, I can now recognize it and work through it. And at almost 60 years old, it's a new beginning. But it's still there. We still have roots there because, like so many of you, I wanted to be lovable and likable and have family. And I worked so very hard my whole life. And I kept saying, do you love me now? How perfect do I have to be? And do you love me now? Am I acceptable now? Am I okay? And I never got that feeling. That feeling met. Early in this program, I started getting a lot of that through you and through God, through program. And I was feeling pretty good, you know. But you know, I got bit in the butt a couple of days ago, and a couple of cousins show up, and do you love me now? How do I look? You know, how is my home? And I had to go, ooh, you know, here it comes again. All right, you know. I get to talk with my sponsor in about 45 minutes, and I get to share it with her and go through the 12 steps with her real quickly. I just want to say it's real and it's okay, because we have the tools and we know what the solution is. And I don't have to return to food or anything else to make me feel like I'm okay anymore, or that I belong, or that I have family. And one of my treasures is when I hear someone online say, you know, I love you, family, or you're my family, because you guys are my family. And I thank you so much for allowing me to be part of that and welcoming me into your family. And God bless all of you today, and I hope that you find your solution today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. Barbara E., your 3 minutes are now, and then Julie E.B. will come after you.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Oh, good. Oh, always. That's
you
wonderful.
You might get this dropped that one day.
Well, actually, I'm thrilled to be able to be on this meeting today. And I don't know if you remember the musical called Chicago, but there was a song in it called The Cellophane Man. And that's what I felt like, the cellophane child. The lyrics were something like, a human being's made of more than air with all that bulk. You're bound to see her there unless that human being next to you is unimpressive, undistinguished, you know who. People could see right through me, at least that's how I felt. I was invisible. I had no consequence. There was nothing about me. So like that M&M with the hard candy shell that doesn't melt in your hand, I had to go out to the world and be what you wanted me to be, or what I thought you wanted to be me to be kind, to be loving, sometimes to be mean and impatient, but always putting on a mask, so many masks that I couldn't tell one from the other. And it wasn't until I came into OA and had to hang around for maybe 15 years before the big book started to come into play, at least where I am in New Jersey, that I began to see that God doesn't make junk and that I'm not junk. And if I think I can or I think I can't, I'm probably right. So I had to really uncover, discover, and discard, as everyone says, all those secrets that I've been hiding in my closet, to open the curtains, to brush the shades, to let in the sunlight, because it's okay to be me, and I'm not invisible. I know that now. I may not be the most important person in the room. I know I'm not the most important person in the room. So I really appreciate your giving me the opportunity to take this time. But it's so important, for me at least, not to wear the mask, to be my authentic self and say, you don't have to love me, but I have to love me. And if I can love me, then I can love you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you today. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Thanks so much. And let's see, Julie E.B., you're next, and then Bruce E. will follow you. Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Happy to be outside today. You know, this, our traditions make it very clear that the reason we hold this meeting is for the sake of the still suffering compulsive eater. And whether you're a compulsive overeater, restrictor, bulimic, anorexic, I've been down every one of those roads. And I got to over 300 pounds, bedbound, screaming, six medical specialists, dying at 42 years old. And the way I got there is by being fine. And some of you have heard in this program that fine can be freaked out and irrational, the I for irrational, and neurotic, E emotional. And the way everybody was pretty impressed, but I became nothing but my roles. I was trying to be mom and wife and do my job. And actually, I was a creator of confusion rather than harmony. But as far as I was concerned, I was juggling all the plates and keeping them in the air and playing my role, except there was no one inside. I looked inside, and there was just a big old black hole. And when I came to these meetings for the first time, to a 12-step meeting, I began this journey of recovery. And what I can tell you is, for me, this role we're playing is like a key part of the built-in forgetter, of the mental blank spot that brings me back to the food. So often with myself or sponsee, they'll say, well, I was fine all day, and then? Well, because I would go through the day, and I would push down, as the big book says on page 25, blot down my consciousness of my intolerable situation, of all those times I felt fake or not good enough or whatever I was feeling. And I'd push them down all day, and then I'd get to the end of the day and just have these overwhelming cravings to seek whatever ease and comfort I could. And so part of it for me, the fifth step is a big part of it, but also just learning Just as I'm going through the first step, when am I powerless? When is life unmanageable? You know, when am I used to saying I'm fine, but really, oh yeah, I had a difficult conversation with someone. Oh yeah, this is a holiday that triggers things for me. Oh yeah, whatever it is. So the more we put down the roles, the less we play Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the more we begin to sense that our higher power can restore us to sanity by telling us we do deserve good things. So being honest with my higher power and myself, which I didn't even know what I was feeling most days. I just ate at it. So I hope that's helpful to someone, and feel free to reach out and keep reaching out as you feel those powerless, unmanageable moments right there in that first step. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Bruce E., you're next, and then Evan comes in after you.
Well, thank you. It is Bruce E. I'm in Florida, and this paragraph, more than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. Ooh. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents himself as a stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. So, yeah, well, how long have I been doing this? How long have I been leading this double life? I have done this all my life. You know, I've led this double life all my life. I really have. And I've gotten to be a good actor. You know, I could act this thing out really well. I could look good, dress well, look good, give you compliments, ask you questions about yourself to get you talking, and get you to really like me. And if I got you to like me, okay, then I could, if I had somebody liking me, I could feel good about myself. But if I got you liking me, okay, then if you like me, then you're not going to criticize me. Then you're not going to judge me. Then you're not going to reject me. You know, if I can put this out that I'm really cool and I'm really perfect, then you're really going to like me, and then I can feel good about myself, and then I can make it in life. And this is the way that I lived, and this is the way I still go back to doing this. This is the one he likes his fellows to see, you know, because I want you to see all the good stuff. I don't want you to see the other stuff in me. He wants to enjoy the certain reputation. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but he knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. There's when the ton of bricks falls on me right there. I know in my heart, you like me. You think I'm cool. You think I've got my act together. You think that I'm really, you know, playing this part well. But down inside, I really don't deserve it. You know, what is it? It's a heart issue. All of it's a heart issue. Everything turns out to be a heart issue. What in my heart is it? Why do I think I don't deserve it? Well, I do deserve it. You know, I'm a child of God. It tells us that a number of times in this book. I have value. I can help other people. I can help myself. I deserve it. You know, I really do. I'm okay. You know, I have to realize I don't have to play this part anymore. I don't have to play the double life. I can be the way God wants me to be, act the way that God wants me to be, and I deserve it. You know, I deserve it because I am a good person. I'm trying to be a good person. I blow it.
Time.
Yeah, I do. But most of the time, I'm pretty good. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Brucey. Evan B., you're next, and then Stephen will follow you, and then we'll open up for some more people to share on paragraph 173. Hi, Evan.
Hi, my name is Evan B., compulsive overeater. I love this piece of reading, and I connect to it a whole lot. You know, I went to my high school reunion, actually, this weekend, and it's on Saturday, my 10-year high school reunion, and I was there, and this is a reminder of how far back these things go. You know, I'm an extremely sensitive person, and I've always been really insecure inside, you know. But in high school, I was voted life of the party and class clown. You know, I think that's probably very common for, I'm sure, a lot of people on the line. that's how they were in high school or wherever, however how they felt inside. And I've always been very sensitive and just simply wanting that loving connection with people and doing whatever I can to get people to like me because I don't like me. And I know that with a program, it's all about, you know, getting God's help to learn that self-acceptance. And I still struggle with that really, really hard. I struggle to accept my body and my food restrictions. I struggle to accept myself when I don't have enough energy. And I struggle to accept myself when I really am in any social situation where I'm not super switched on, you know. And I really am working today to see that and to pray and to ask for God to help guide me out of that self-pity and self-judgment so I can be of service to others and be in a place of self-love. Because it's like, it just doesn't really do me good or anyone. So, yeah, I noticed that, like, if you're trying not to offend somebody and you try really hard not to be offensive, they generally get offended when you try, the harder you try to not offend somebody. I think the more, you know, we can all let go and just learn to accept ourselves where we are, the more we can get exactly what we want. And the food isn't what we want. And I've been struggling very, very hard the past 2 days with overeating. And I really am hoping to get back on track and turn it back over to God. Thank you, guys, and let me share.
Thank you so much, Evan B. Stephen G., it's your 3 minutes now, and then you all get ready, because after Stephen's finished with his three, we're going to open it up for additional people to comment on paragraph 1, page 73 of the big book, Into Action is the Chapter, starts with more than most people and ends with doesn't deserve it. Hi, Stephen. It's your three.
Hi, good morning. Stephen G., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I'm grateful to be on the line this morning. Thank you for your service. When I came into the program, I thought that my problem was food. Actually, no, I thought my problem was my weight. And then I learned that my problem was food and compulsive overeating. When I did my step four, as it says in an earlier paragraph, solitary self-appraisal was insufficient. When I actually shared my step five with my sponsor, it became very clear that I had a major problem with self-esteem. All of my resentments and many of my fears threatened my self-esteem. And as it says in the last line, he wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. Knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. That's column three. And that's when I finally started to see, as my sponsor says, you really don't like yourself. And I had no idea. Because for so long in my life, I'd been doing these behaviors based on column four. Because I'd been selfish, I'd been self-seeking, I'd been dishonest, I'd been frightened. Because I wanted to enjoy a certain reputation. And I wanted to be seen a certain way. And I didn't realize that that was killing me. That was blocking me off from God, and it was feeding my compulsive overeating. And once I shared that with somebody and could finally see it, there was a humility that finally came over me and that allowed me finally to begin to have a spiritual experience. And now those defects of character are still there. Because of that self-esteem problem, I still struggle occasionally with this sort of self-centered, self-seeking, dishonest, frightened behavior. But it's better. I just have to be watchful for it, and I have to share it with somebody. So I have to do an ongoing step 10 process. But I'm so grateful for this process because I couldn't have seen that that was my fundamental problem, this fragile self-esteem that led me to be abnormally focused on self. And that led me to be blocked off from my higher power. So that's all I have to share today, and I'm grateful to be here and grateful to read this today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your share, Stephen G. The lines are open now for additional folks to comment on paragraph one. Hi, Santa.
Sharon K.
Did I hear Melissa?
Yes.
Did I hear Melissa?
Sharon K.
Hang on just one second, Sharon. Hey, folks, can you hang on so I get a little word in from Melissa so she has a little bit of space? Did I hear from a Melissa?
Yes, Melissa.
Okay, Melissa, if you could crank up the volume a bit when the noise is down, we'll be able to catch you. So I want to go on. Who's next then, please?
Rachel P.
Rachel P.
Sarah G.
Michelle P.
Did I hear a Sarah G?
Clara.
Clara. Clara wants to speak. Clara G. Okay. Did I hear a Michelle? And then let's go with one more after Michelle.
Sharon K.
Sharon K. We got it. Okay. Okay, great. So we have Santa H., Melissa F., Rachel P., Clara G., Michelle, and Sharon K. Hi, Santa, and everybody else. A quick star one will clear out the background noise and give room for Santa to be heard. Hi.
Good morning, Melanie. Sorry for stepping on your toes like that. Good morning, my fellows, which is also my family today. And also thank you, the Team Tuesday, for making this meeting possible. My name is Santa H., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And what this paragraph made me think of in listening to all the shares is just think about the layers of masks that I had on. They were so deep that I didn't even realize how deep they were. I mean, I was very fortunate to come into OA through A Vision for You, and it took me such a long time to accept and receive the love that this meeting today gives to me. Because my self-esteem was so low, it was in the gutter. And I found today that I acted so much on this, wearing these masks for so many years of my life, that I was on autopilot. I could not see what I could not see. And it was through working these steps that allowed me to discover and uncover and discard every layer of mask that I was wearing. And, you know, today I'm so grateful by working the 10 step on a regular basis and living in 10, 11, and 12 today that I've come to love this fellowship. I've come to love my fellows. I've come to see us as my family today because I'm truly living a life today where I can be my authentic self. And it's only because of the work that I do in this program on a day-to-day basis and connecting with my fellows and doing my 10 steps and showing humility. I mean, doing a fifth step requires a lot of humility, and it took me years to be able to do that. But I'm grateful today that I can do that, and I'm grateful today that I can be of service to other people and hear their 10 step. I can pick up that phone today like it's nothing, you know, when the phone used to be real heavy. And I remember with my sponsor, I would not do a 10-step with anybody else but her. That's just how frightened I was. Didn't want people to know the real me. But I'm just grateful today that, you know, I can be my authentic self on this meeting and also off this meeting in my life today. And my life is so transparent today. And with that, I pass.
We're not hearing you, Melanie.
Melanie, I think you're muted.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, this is, I need to change my Bluetooth, it sounds like. So what we have now is Melissa F., and then I'll be followed by Rachel P. Thanks, you guys.
Hi, this is Melissa S. Thank you, Melanie, for your service, and thank you, everyone, for being on the line here. This is my first time sharing here. I've been listening for quite a while and listening to the archives and getting so much out of it. I'm 9 weeks into abstinence, so very new, very young in this program. But this reading really kind of slapped me in the face, especially the line, he wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. I've never felt I deserved anything. And like many people have shared here, it's that was wired into me from early childhood. But I also, when I think about it, I have played a character and had a reputation all my life, good or bad, but whatever that reputation is, whatever anyone has thought of me, I didn't deserve it, because I wasn't presenting myself to the world, and whatever perceptions people have of me, I think might have had more to do with them than with me. And as I am working the steps, I feel like the one thing I do deserve is the unconditional love of my higher power and the promises of the 12 steps and the non-judgmental acceptance that I get from my fellows here, and really grateful for that. And this is Melissa in California. And again, thank you. Very grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa F. Rachel P., your 3 minutes are now, and then Clara will come in after you.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive eater in Denver, Colorado. Oh my gosh, I love this paragraph. I know I've read it before, but I hadn't really read it before. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. Yeah, in my disease, I absolutely lived a double life. I couldn't tell anybody my secret, and that was that I binged alone. I would do anything to prevent anybody from knowing that, which included, I'm sure you've all done this, like cutting the edges off of brownies, eating candy at houses where I babysat that I knew wouldn't be missed, going to different grocery stores to accumulate my food for a binge. This is at the height of my disease when I was almost 300 pounds. But, you know, the thing about compulsive eating is that I showed it on my body. Like, everybody could see what I was doing, but I couldn't have anyone know my secret. I'm sure they wondered why I was so big, but they never said anything. And, of course, I never said anything, gosh forbid. I was certainly an actor, and my stage character was the good girl. I was and still am to a certain extent a people pleaser. I wanted to be so sweet and nice and quiet and get good grades, and the consequence there was that I never advocated for myself or asked for what I wanted. It was all about pleasing other people so that they would like me, so that they would love me. And I wanted a certain reputation, but I knew in my heart I didn't deserve it. I wanted people to see this veneer, but I didn't believe it myself. I was not living authentically. I was a walking lie. And how could I not hate myself in my disease when I was binging and restricting and over-exercising and doing everything possible to hide what I did? How could I not hate myself living so incongruently with who I was and what I did? But now in recovery, you know, I was able to get abstinent and get honest with people. Through working the steps, I began to foster trust with myself and with others. And trust was so key for me. I had a fellow describe this as building a covenant of trust with myself through getting abstinent and through understanding who I am and what I need and asking for what I need. In a way that doesn't harm others, of course. But in program now and in recovery, I know that who I say I am and what I do is really who I am and what I do. And that is just so huge for me in recovery that I don't feel like a walking lie anymore. I don't have to carry around shame anymore. I get to be authentically me. So I'm really grateful for this program and for all of you. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rachel P. Clara G., your 3 minutes are now, and then Michelle will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Clara G. from Wisconsin. I think this paragraph is very, it reflects me so much, so clearly. I used to be a very depressed person, and it would be in my couch all day long, But when I went outside, I would do my hair, I would put makeup on, I would dress really well and be all energized and optimistic person, like it was completely another persona, you know. And by learning how to work the steps and learning how to be honest, I now feel that I am more of a transparent person. I try to be, because I think that it's not completely completely healed, that personality defect. I try to be as transparent as I can and honest and a real person. I don't put up like a stage actor acting like I am like a super whatever, you know, super fun, super energized, super positive. No, I try to be more really like how I truly feel. And I try to remember that what I want to please now is my higher power. And so I constantly remember to ask, would this be important for my higher power? Would this please him or displease him? You know, and go with that guideline instead of the other guidelines that I had before. Oh, well, would this please that person? Or would this make me feel good because that person is going to approve of me? And so with all of that, I feel a much, much more honest person today, and I feel better, really, in general. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Clara G. Michelle, your 3 minutes are now. What's the first initial of your last name?
Okay, this is Felt C from Detroit. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. All right. Sorry about the background noise. I'm going to try and hurry up. Anyway, when I read this about, you know, the certain reputation, I thought, well, of course, you know, because I have people, you know, trying to, you know, pretty much give me accolades for helping so many people, and you're so great, and it's like, I'm not. I'm just like you. And then I just, like, think, that's why it's in there. It's not that we don't deserve it, but I don't deserve it because, you know, but there for the grace of God go I. I just feel like it's God's grace why, you know, I'm enjoying this one day at a time, abstinence and working the steps and everything. It's like that's just something that we have to do to get recovery and go to meetings and study in the big book, and that's just what hit me today. You know, it just, you know, brought me back to like where it says that we're, you know, in that one of those little things, an infinitesimal fact that we're not really anything. I mean, God is everything. All right, I gotta stop, but thank you so much. Can I pass?
Thanks a lot, Michelle T. Appreciate that. Hey, Sharon K., you're up next for your 3 minutes, and then we might have time to take one more. We'll star one there, Michelle T., if you would. And
hi, this is Sharon K. from Canada, and thank you, Melanie, for everything you do in program, as well as today. Mm-hmm. I just love this paragraph. And my, you know, other people were talking about layers, and that's my experience too. My experience is almost like it's even more than a double life. It's like a triple or quadruple or something, because I, you know, when I'm doing my fourth step, like the first layer for me was almost like getting rid of the obvious stuff. So, you know, when I stole things, I was presenting something different, and yet I was feeling guilty about stealing. But there were other resentments where, you know, I was trying so hard to be thorough, and I did it, and I did my amends and everything else, and there was still something that was bothering me about those amends. And what I'm starting to see is there's a layer where I am scared to face myself, how horrible I feel about myself. It's not about what other people think about me, but I'm scared there's one or two people, and I can tell that there's something else there because I still am hanging on to a piece of their side of the street. I'm not completely on my side of the street. And so it's, And I don't even see that. Like I have done probably 7 or 8 or 9 four steps on these people. And it just takes time to scrape off some of the obvious layers before I can see some of those really, really big, deep issues. And each layer gives me more peace and more serenity. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Sharon Kay. Thank you so much. Appreciate the share. We have time for one more person to comment on paragraph 1, page 73.
Terry S.
Terry S., you got it.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. And I love the sentence about the double life. So let's just talk about a trip to the grocery store. I would go into Costco and buy bags and bags and bags of chocolate. And I was so mortified, I would tell the checkout person, oh, this is for the people at the office. And I would do that, you know, I always made sure it was a different checkout person. How embarrassing is that? And do they really care? No, of course they don't. Now, when I go through Costco and the grocery store, I'm not worried about looking for the self-checkout because I'm embarrassed what's in my cart. I'm not worried about telling them a story about supplying this for the office. I put my healthy, abstinent food, and I actually treat myself to a conversation with the checkout person. And it's just a small example of the changes that have happened for me. And it's kind of a silly one, but I don't have to be embarrassed anymore in life. And I'm so grateful for the steps for that. It's just the grace of my higher power, the support on these meetings, my sponsor, the desperation that I experienced when I came in, and I'm in recovery today, and I'm technically recovered, though I don't use that term yet. So I'm very, very grateful, and thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Terry S. Hey, you know what? That leaves time for a 2-minute, 90-second share. Would somebody like to take 90 seconds? Just takes a press with a star one function.
Linda D.
Hi, Linda. It's yours. 90 seconds, madam.
All right. Linda D., recovered compulsive overeater in Wilmington, North Carolina. I was drilling down on the word deserve, and one of the things I learned when I discovered who my higher power was in this program was that there's no such thing as I deserve it or I don't deserve it. Because that's a merit-based system. And my higher power is the perfect parent. And that higher power loves me no matter who I am and what I am. And my higher power knows what I am, even when I don't know what I am. So I'm loved anyway. So this sort of reverse narcissism of, oh, I'm the worst Elizabeth in the world, that's basically what I had too. So I'm just going to say that my higher power says that we all deserve it. All that's left to work with is our own judgment about ourselves, which is much less kind than the higher power that loves us all, that some of us have discovered in this program. So, with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Linda D. And that closes out the sharing part of this particular program, and we're going to transition by closing out the recorded portion, then into the non-recorded time. So stick with us. We're not quite done. We're still hanging in there a bit. Thanks to everybody. It was a service today that made this meeting possible and the shares that were so vulnerable and helpful today. I would like to ask Sandy D to please read from page 164. A book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that up with a serenity prayer and then move on. Hi, Sandy. Thank you.
Hi, Melanie, and thank you for your service. Sandy D., recovered by God's grace and mercy in Central Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little, God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.